This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Top media business arrests made in Hong Kong. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Police in Hong Kong have arrested the editor-in-chief and four other directors of the Apple Daily tabloid newspaper in early morning raids and have frozen the company's bank accounts. The journalists have been accused of being part of a conspiracy to collude with foreign forces. However, it's been long suspected that the pro-democracy newspaper has been the target of the authorities. The raids are likely to cause more concern to multinationals operating in the Asian financial hub, with many professionals feeling uneasy about China's new security law. And it's likely to place financial strain on media businesses, as the BBC's Danny Vincent explained to me earlier from Hong Kong.
Apple Daily executives have said that they have enough cash flow to continue for at least many months ahead. But I think today's development shows that Hong Kong is quite frankly changing. When Hong Kong was returned to China in 1997, this city was supposed to be essentially free from politics. It's supposed to be the stable part of China, independent from politics, where international companies can come and do business. But today we've seen editors arrested under the new national security law. There's definitely the feeling that the media landscape has changed here today.
And do you think other professions are concerned too? I mean, what kind of working environment does this create broadly?
I think that the image of 500 police officers coming inside this media organisation certainly sends a message not just to people in the media, but also to other industries as well. There has been a lot of talk of late that journalists feel that they're being attacked and being targeted under this new law. But it's not just the media industry, it's also the film industry, it's also the publishing industries. I think since the national security law was introduced around a year ago, many Hong Kong residents, many business people, obviously activists, they feel that this city is changing. The very nature of what Hong Kong represents is changing.
The BBC's Danny Vincent in Hong Kong. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's check in with the markets. Hong Kong's benchmark, the Hang Seng, finished the day in positive territory. But here in Europe, indices are mostly lower after the Federal Reserve signalled their first rate hike will come in 2023, which is earlier than forecast. Now, most investors will have their eye on Bitcoin, however they feel about the cryptocurrency. El Salvador was set to become the first country to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. But the World Bank has thrown a spanner in the works and has said it can't help the country with the implementation process. The BBC's David Willis has more.
Under the law that was passed, every business in the country would be compelled to accept Bitcoin as legal tender for goods or services unless it lacked the technology needed to process the transaction. In a statement that was released to Reuters, the World Bank said it was committed to helping El Salvador in numerous ways, but added, not this one. This is not something the bank can support, given the environmental and transparency shortcomings.
David Willis reporting there. Now, tax, budgeting and saving money are all key life skills. Skills I desire to acquire one day, maybe. But in many parts of the world, they're not taught in schools. So here in the UK, the Scout Association is teaming up with a Main Street bank to change that. The BBC's Nisha Patel has this report.
OK, Cubs, what you're going to be doing today is making your own currency. So we've been learning about
a Cub Scout meeting with a difference.
We know that in the UK we use pounds and pence.
8 to 10 year olds learning about money.
I think we should put the Scout logo on it somewhere, because
when most people think of scouting, they think of adventurous activities, hiking, and of course singing around a campfire.
Found a peanut yesterday.
Well, they wouldn't be wrong. But from this week, in its quest to teach young people skills for life, the Scout Association in the UK has added another string to its bow. They're launching their first new badge in more than 3 years. It's aimed at introducing 6 to 10-year-olds to money management in a typically Scouty way.
There's different games where you pretend to be a bee and you're collecting honey for each other and making sure that you've got honey for your friends next door. And that's how we describe tax. Whenever we collect something, we need to make sure that we're contributing to the community around us.
Amy Butterworth is in charge of coming up with the criteria for earning badges at the Scout Association.
So, for example, one of the activities for the Cubs is to design a menu for their camp. And every group is assigned a different value that they have to research about their budget. So one is going to be researching the lowest cost. One will be researching just organic. One will be researching the lowest food miles. So they understand the different kinds of value that you can attach to your money and then what your money does after you've made that decision. So it's bringing in that community impact into your Scout activity.
HSBC UK have partnered with the Scouts to launch the initiative. According to Michaela Rye from the bank's corporate sustainability team, young people start developing money habits as early as 7 years old.
Scouts are the experts in that experiential learning and bringing this in an engaging way to children that don't actually enjoy the classroom learning. Finance isn't all about maths. So if you can get them to engage with money and get them to understand money, we're talking about helping young children thrive for a lifetime because they're not going to get into some of those difficult situations through not understanding money and not having those financial capabilities.
So far, 400 Scouts across Britain have tested the badge. And the proof, they say, is of course in the pudding. What do they make of the new activity badge?
My name is Sarah and I am 9 years old. When I go on holidays, sometimes they use different currencies like dollars and sometimes euros. So it's important for us to learn about them as well as pounds and pennies.
I'm Amira Patel and I'm 9 years old. I've learned how to save money, share money and spend it and make sure we do it wisely and not to waste. And it's just better to know when you're a child.
Learning about money isn't just a life skill. It can also be fun. But the question is, are my money skills as good as theirs? I'm the BBC's Nisha Patel for Marketplace.
I think that's a question we're all asking, Nisha. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.